Welcome back to the Action Factory podcast. If you're new here, then this is the central place for residential youth work. This is session 4 of our ongoing audio course, NLP in Residential Youth Work. The whole course is free. It's designed to provide what I call commutable chunks of audio that you can listen to on the bus and practice at work. Remember to subscribe. Your free downloadable notes are around here somewhere. Join the community and let me know what you think by any means possible. And there are lots of means. So at the risk of dragging out the introduction, I'd suggest new listeners check out our website, theactionfactory.com. And when you get there, you'll see a button in the menu that says start here. Well, that's a great place to start because aside from getting this fascinating free download, you'll also be front and center for all our product launches in the coming weeks and months. So there we go. An even briefer introduction this week, but I'm aware that your time is precious, or maybe your bus journey or commute is quite short. So if we carry on this way in a couple of weeks, I'll just be saying hi and getting straight into it. Okay, so we are continuing with our NLP course, and today we're going to talk about the NLP communication model. Now, this is the varying ways that all of us process information. Now, in particular, you, me, and our clients. Now, the theory goes that we all have dominant systems, and by being aware of them, we can communicate better. And by the end of this week's session, I hope you have an understanding of the basics and can have some harmless fun observing clients and colleagues to determine their systems and maybe even your own, as I have in the writing of this whole episode. As we talked about in earlier sessions, NLP started out as a psychological approach that involves analyzing strategies used by successful individuals in that field and then decoding those behavior and method. The NLP communication model is based on the idea that we process information through our sensory systems, specifically our visual, auditory, and kinesthetic systems, or in layman's terms, what we see, what we hear, and what we feel. And this in turn influences how we communicate with the outside world. By working out the primary system being used in a communication, and notice I say a communication, not a person. And I say this because the method and bias is flexible. None of us will lock into a particular way of communicating. But after today, you might well be aware of your own and you may notice it a lot more. What would tell us which system someone is using or even which system we're using ourselves? As you're about to find out, the client will tell you or you will tell yourself. And the reason I say that is because it's coded in plain sight by looking at the words we use. Okay, so let's break this down a bit more. Firstly, there's visual, the use of pictures in our heads. For example, when a young person might say, "I can see a bright future ahead," they're using visual language to express their thoughts. Now, this might suggest that a picture's being created in the mind. See what I mean? "Look, I could see you're not listening to me." Then there's kind of auditory, which is what we hear. And for instance, when someone mentions that they can't hear themselves think because of all the noise, "I hear what you're saying. Listen up. This matters. You never listen to me." They are using auditory language to describe their experiences. Then there's kinesthetic. Or should we just say touch? Take, for example, a young person who describes their heart as feeling like it's going to explode. Or we talk about a head-splitting headache. "You do my head in," if you're from Manchester. "It's just another problem for me to shoulder." And this is an expression of kinesthetic language describing an emotional or physical sensation. So, in summary, visual is what we see. Auditory, this is where we process information through what we hear, and kinesthetic is where we process information through what we feel. In the world of NLP, it can serve us to not only recognize these systems in others, but in ourselves as well, bearing in mind that most people use all the systems, you know, from time to time at some level. It's about recognizing the dominant system in any particular interaction. So let's look at some examples. Did you see what I did there? Which system was I using? Now, I could have said, let's examine how you feel about the following, or you'll soon get a feel for what I'm talking about. So let's have a look at a few examples and listen closely to the following. And see, whoops, I did it again. So see if you can recognize some of these. I may or may not go through them all, but there's plenty more on the PDF download around about this podcast somewhere. Let's go through some quickly today here. It's like I can see a bright future ahead, okay? Her words were like music to my ears. Whenever you speak, it really resonates with me. I feel like I've got the weight of the world on my shoulders. His voice was so soothing. I've got a good feeling about this. Now, there's more in the PDF, but I think that as I said those, you were probably able to very quickly zero in on which of the systems were being used. Well, that's all fun and interesting, isn't it? But what real use is this to us? Well, the theory goes that we can be heard and understood better when our systems are in sync. It's possible that we can have conversations with people that vibe better. We tend to tune in better. So with the examples I mentioned earlier, it feels like I'm carrying the world on my shoulders. That's kinesthetic. And if you're me, then you're most likely to respond with a visual modality. Someone like me might say, oh, I see what you mean. Let's take a look at what's bothering you. Now, a kinesthetic response might make more sense at a subconscious level to the client if you said something like, well, the responsibilities you have at the moment can be quite a burden. Let's see if there's anything we can do to lighten the load. Or alternatively, I hear where you're coming from. You can talk to me. I'm here to listen. That's an auditory response. Now, I've got to admit that in writing this, felt more natural on some occasions to use certain systems. And that's clearly just me wanting to use my own personal bias. And you can probably already see it in the words that I constantly use because I write this whole thing and I speak this whole. I would be outright lying to you if I pretended that this was something I'd used extensively in my work. I don't directly use it, but I think there's areas within my work, certainly within our training, that does kind of mimic this effect, and you can be the judge as to whether it's actually the same thing. For example, I do tend to use reflective language, which as far as I'm concerned, is in a similar vein. And I think that's very effective. You know, I always suggest that we steal words and language from our clients. And as well as being able and willing to offer them words of our own that are more positive, reframing negative language that they use. So without drifting off into my course, yes, there's a free version on the website, by the way, for your team. There is a free version of the Solutions Toolkit at the moment of recording this. But we do talk about that idea a lot. For example, a client says depressed and we say low. Or perhaps a client describes his bad days as dark days. Now, we might reflect that back to him by saying, when are these days not so dark? When do you think you could have brighter days? So as you can see, I'm stealing his language. Those are not my words. And the more I speak and say this out loud to you now while recording this, the more I start to see this is the same, probably the same kind of idea. But we should stay on the NLP bus for now. But you understand what I mean. And regardless of what label we put on it, we can smooth the flow of communication. And I think the credit for that goes to NLP. So imagine working with a young person who's describing their feelings using a kinesthetic language, saying things like, I feel like I'm in a black hole. And in this case, it would be beneficial to respond with kinesthetic language, which says, I can sense that you're going through a tough time. I'm here to support you. Let's work together to find a brighter future. There's so many ways of responding. So the first stage in being able to work with these communication systems is to hear them and recognize them. Now, here's some, what I hope are practical ideas that are on the PDF for recognizing and adapting a sensory representational systems. There's no exact science here. So when you get to work and experiment it, simply start as a listening exercise. Number one, let's listen carefully. Pay attention to the words and phrases the young person uses. Do they use more visual, auditory, or kinesthetic language? Are they seeing what you mean, hearing what you said, or feeling bad about it? Number two, observe nonverbal cues. Look at a young person's body language, facial expressions, and other nonverbal cues. These can provide valuable information about their sensory system, and often they will physically reflect what's inside. And we like to make ourselves smaller physically when we are shamed or whatever. We bend our head low. Are they doing the opposite to make themselves bigger and more aggressive and threatening? And you know, where there's a danger of drifting off deeper and deeper into mastery of NLP there. But again, we do mimic on the outside our feelings on the inside. You think of something horrible happening, the way we close our eyes for that extra half a second and that kind of thing. Number three is adapt to your communication style. Once you've identified the young person's preferred system, adapt your communication to match theirs. For example, if they are more visually orientated, use visual aids such as diagrams or pictures to help convey your message. Haven't you ever been shown a diagram that suddenly brings everything into focus? Well, I certainly have, but then again, it's clear that I'm visual, as we discovered earlier. Next one is to be flexible. It is important to be flexible and adaptable in your approach. As the young person's preferred sensory system, it may change depending on the situation. This is not hard and fast. We don't need to be Franz Mesmer to just use this to build some compassion and understanding. This is all a harmless exercise. However, a word of caution that I have no need whatsoever to say, because you are all professionals. Clearly, troubled young people can react differently to touch or for whatever reason. So staying firmly within your own working regime and considering your clients, I think, is a given. So drifting into my sales experience, you might see a touch on the elbow when shaking hands, a slap on the back when shaking, because you know, you are professionals and you have a regime that works for you. In sales and breaking down different relationships, for me, it was a different world. If any of you work with me, and I know a lot of you who listen to this podcast do, you'll know that I teach you nothing. I use that phrase because I don't feel that's my place in light of the training and experience that you've already got. What I love to do instead is to take these ideas and concepts and ask whether they might improve your work and get you better results. And I'm pleased to say that it's often the case. In summary, what have we gained from this short episode on NLP communication systems? I certainly hope it's opened you up to observation when a situation arises. So when you go into work this week and find yourself dealing with other adults, it'll be fun to hear the words they say and what that tells you about how they are communicating. And this could offer you a key into their way of thinking and feeling in that moment. And also, I just hope you won't let that little tip slip by about actually stealing the language and that kind of thing. You know, they talk about smoking weed, then you share the terminology. In summary, I want to thank you for listening and hearing the message from the Action Factory podcast. It's possible that you leave with plenty of food for thought, with plenty of things to weigh up. I can see from the listener figures that the training course is resonating with many as we move along the road. We'll continue to build upon our knowledge, see massive insights, and by listening, we'll hear our clients better. I'll leave you to sort that little lot out. Thank you for joining me. My name's been Michael Dawson from the Action Factory, and you've been listening to our free NLP course in residential youth work. Don't forget to grab the notes around here somewhere and have fun. I'll be back next week.